I'm not sure exactly. I mean, because there's a few of these where I think I'd be okay with, like, ensure HIPAA guidelines and compliance. I mean, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, you have to maintain HIPAA compliance. Okay. Clinic cleanliness. Yeah. Performance reviews. No, I don't think so. Answer questions with regards to insurance and clinic policies. On the surface, that doesn't sound so bad, but then you could get into, well, is my insurance going to pay for such and such?
Right.
Okay. Yep. Then you start going, that's starting to kind of get really close to that line. Mm-hmm. Verify copay, co-insurance collection compliance. Again, that to me, that just, it there might be some very innocent situations, and then others, she might be asked to do something that's not.
Where do you draw the line between, okay, you verify insurance, and then you get into a situation where, oh, we need to modify a bill. Well, modifying bill is definitely administrative.
Right.
But so, I mean, it's so easy to slip from one to another. And personally, I would take the broadest definition of this. To be on the safe side, because, you know.
I think that's what the when the statute was written, they decided to do that. And I don't like lists because inevitably you're going to forget something.
So again, I would refer, the board's purpose. The board is very knowledgeable. However, whoever's sitting here now may not be the people that are sitting here in the event that this case would ever come back for a non-compliance issue. Mm-hmm. And best practice is to refer Ms. Lasky to the statute and her counsel to the statute and to the applicable rule, to let them work together and for the attorney to provide the client legal advice.
Thank you. I agree. I don't think it's in our purview to pick and choose from this list what does and doesn't.
And there's inevitably there's going to be something that maybe should have been on the list and it's not.
And that's really, yes, that's what the board was here to do today was to do the review rehearing. The board has completed that.
So then at this point, do we need to do anything further with this list?
I don't believe so, no.
Thank you. So we'll refer her to her attorney and attorney general.
To her attorney.
Attorney and our state statutes.
Yes.
Okay. I think this brings this matter to a close. And thank you very much for coming. I appreciate you being here.
Because we have PTA students here, there were several references by Ms. Lasky about her scope of practice. You do not have a scope of practice. Only PTs have scope of practice. You have a scope of professionalism or work. Please bear that in mind.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to handle that one. You want to take it from one?
Sure.
What do you want?
Don't we have a thing at 11?
You want to handle
that's up to you, Mark. I'm fine.
Yeah, let's try
it. I'm okay. Good.
I'm really good. Thank you for
shake like this all the time.
No, I mean, if you want to take a 5-minute restroom break, that's fine.
No, I'm good. It's just that I've been accused of that.
So, Dr. Cornwell, you may want to decide to take a break since Ms. Baskins has left the room.
Oh.
Possibly a good idea.
And is Elvis coming back?
We hope. So, right, we'll take a break at 11:48 for 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes is fine.
Okay.
Whoops, I'm going to flip this backwards.
We are back on record at 12:02. Dr. Cornwell, the meeting is yours.
All right, we're back in session. Moving up on our agenda to item 4A1, review, discussion, and possible action on informal hearing in case number 18-40, Tracy Hill, physical therapist. So all parties would come forward. Okay. So this is a matter of case number 18-40. It's being audio recorded, and let's have the board members, staff, council introduce themselves.
Sorry, Peggy Hunter, professional member.
Kelly King, professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General.
Karen Donahue, Executive Director.
Monica Crowley, Licensing Administrator.
Mindy Richardson, Board Investigator.
Michael Balburn, Board Investigator.
Okay, and would you introduce yourselves?
Yes, thank you for your time. My name is Ryan Womack. I'm representing Tracy Hill. And then we've also brought with us Veronica Rivas.
Okay. Now, this interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. Four, issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Let's see. I just want to remind everyone to use, if there's any patients involved in anything, statements, always use their initials and not the name. Okay. Can we have a brief overview?
Yes. So this is informal hearing for complaint 1840 Tracy Hill. The single factual allegation is engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This case is for your review.
Okay. Would you or your attorney like to make an opening statement?
You need to swear, Sin, please.
Yeah, all right. All those who plan to provide testimony, which would, well, that will include, let me make sure I get Veronica, right? So if you all raise your right hand, okay? You swear to tell the truth and whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Now, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, we would. Thank you again for your time. We've already introduced, this is Tracy Hill sitting next to me, a physical therapist. Veronica Rivas, who we've already introduced, she was the technician who was assisting Tracy at the time of the events at issue. Veronica is happy to answer any questions along with Tracy that you may have, and Veronica could also speak to Tracy's character, and because they've had a relationship for a while, a working relationship. I'm not sure we provided this morning some response document to the new allegations. Has that been received by the board?
No, they're passing it out.
Okay. And very briefly, what I'd like to do is just to run through this document. The purpose of the document is to address the allegations that differ from the initial complaint. And there's just a brief background of the incident. A patient of Tracy's alleged that she had a fall incident during treatment on September 18th, 2018. Reality is the patient didn't fall or injure herself during that visit or any other time when being treated by Ms. Hill. The patient before this treatment date at issue had actually seen Tracy on multiple occasions. She had weakness in her left leg, loss of balance, some difficulty walking. She started seeing Tracy on August 16, 2018, approximately a month before the date at issue. She saw her again, I believe, earlier in September. The incident occurred on September 18th during initial stretching. The patient was using the True Stretch. On that machine or on that bar she was holding on at the time, she had a gait belt on. Both Tracy and Veronica were within close proximity to the patient at the time. It was realized that she had her knee had buckled, and before the patient ever hit the floor, due to their proximity and paying attention to the patient, they were able to move a chair underneath the patient, which she sat on at the time. The patient was there for about 10 minutes. Tracy was evaluating her, asking if she's okay. The patient stated that she was doing, that she was fine, and after about 10 minutes, she wanted to continue to go through the therapy session. Ms. Hill modified the planned treatment at that point, and you can see from her record that certain exercises were taken out, and Tracy would be happy to talk about that if you have any questions as to what exercises were removed. The end of the visit, the patient was ready to leave, and so she was escorted out to her car as a matter of just precaution by Veronica. The patient came back for additional visits with Tracy, and those additional visits were on September 20th, 2 days later, and then she returned again on September 25th. At that time, there were no complaints made to Tracy, and she actually made comments about how she was doing better due to the therapy. I'd like to just briefly touch on the specific allegations in the most recent notice, and I'm on page 2. One is the loss of balance. The medical record, it reflects that the patient's leg buckled today during a hip flexor stretch and was controlled to chair. That's Tracy's note. And again, I think could have been some confusion from the patient's complaint when she stated that she fell. Reality, it depends on how you define fall, but reality, both the patient's feet remained on the floor. The patient was holding on to the True Stretch, and the patient never hit the floor. This is the reason why there wasn't an incident report drafted that day, is because the patient didn't suffer injury, and there was not a fall. So I think part of the reason why there's been some discrepancies between the incident report and even in the interviews that Tracy has given and Veronica has given is because there wasn't an incident report that day, and then the incident report was drafted after the complaint was filed, which is almost 3 months later. So so any discrepancies between the incident report and what actually happened, we believe is due to that span of time and the number of patients that have been seen during that time. And the same with the interview. The interview happened even later, and Tracy wishes that during the time of the interview that she had remembered better. But I'm sure the board could understand that due to nerves and trying to remember that patient, it's difficult at times. Also, as far as the gait belt, Tracy would be happy to explain, and Veronica also, that the patient was using a gait belt at the time. This wasn't documented. Tracy acknowledges that wasn't documented in the record. And so she's happy to talk about that. but a gate belt was used at the time. There's also the report or the notice notes certain inconsistencies as far as whether or not the exercises were continued after after the patient's knee buckled. Tracy, as I mentioned earlier, she took out certain exercises that she didn't feel like would be appropriate at that time, but other exercises were performed. Only exercises, though, where she felt like the patient was safe due to the incident that happened. There's another point made by the notice about the initial evaluation, specifically to balance testing, strength assessment, and documenting range of motion. Tracy is happy to talk about that. She feels that she acknowledges the charting could have included more details. She recognizes that. In hindsight, she wishes she had done a better job of documentation at that time. But she's happy to explain her evaluation analysis as to those initial evaluations. There's two more areas we just want to briefly touch on. On page 4, it talks about assistive devices. The notice states that the patient record does not document a discussion with the patient about assistive devices. As noted in the patient record, Ms. Hill, Tracy, and the patient discussed her use of a cane for assistance in walking. The goal, however, was that the patient would not need to use assistive devices. And so at the time, Ms. Hill did not see a need to discuss the use of other assistive devices. Regarding blood pressure, the record states that the patient felt shaky, and blood pressure wasn't taken. Due to the fact, and we understand this could be unclear, but the reference to the patient being shaky is in reference to her leg buckling and her leg muscles feeling weak. The patient did not make any complaints about feeling dizzy or lightheaded or any types of symptoms where Tracy felt like a blood pressure reading was necessary. We would ask that the board would consider these circumstances and making any determination. Ms. Hill clearly doesn't constitute a safety risk to the public. To the contrary, she's a qualified and diligent physical therapist who's respected by her peers. And at this time, Ms. Hill, Tracy, and Veronica Rivas are available for any questions you may have.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have questions for Tracy?
I have a question, and you have to excuse me, I'm the public member. You state that he had a gait belt on the patient. Excuse me, I could tell. You state that you had a gait belt on the patient, but in my limited knowledge, gait belts are only effective if someone's there holding the belt. So, you know, I understand. What was the purpose of the gait belt, and why? What if it's appropriate for her to have the gait belt on? Why wasn't somebody utilizing it the way it was intended?
In the beginning of her treatment, it was very one-on-one with her and holding the gait belt, but this was several visits into her treatment where she was at the point where she was starting to function very safely and very independently. And the gait belt was put on when she was out in the open area of the gym, when we would do obstacle courses and stepping and things like that, where I would be then holding it. But in terms of her doing this just initial stretch, she was holding on to the stretch cage, and she was at the point where she was safe enough to be doing that.
Okay. So I'm trying to understand, a patient comes in, I'm Peggy Hunter, a patient comes in and says she feels shaky. Okay. Did she mention it was her knees that felt shaky?
She just felt that her legs were feeling weak that day.
Okay. So, to Mr. Clinton's point, so you didn't take blood pressure, you didn't take a pulse ox. That might have been appropriate. And then because she's already verbalized that her knees feel shaky. It seems like it would be appropriate then to go back to guard her with the gait belt.
And you're absolutely correct. That probably would have been a better response. Veronica and I were both in a close enough proximity, however, to make sure that when the buckling happened, that she was able to be controlled and the chair pulled behind her.
It kind of sounds like the only reason she didn't fall is because she held on. So you weren't in that close proximity. I mean, you should have been right there, ready to grab her gait belt if, in fact, her knees felt bad. It's really not good enough, you know this, to be close by. They can fall in an instant. Right. And she'd already verbalized that her knees felt bad, which should have been a red flag. Absolutely. Do you agree? I'm also concerned about the fact that you're letting the patient dictate what assistive device they should have. I mean, that can be a long-term goal, to have a single-point cane. But in your note, you say she was, safety was a factor. Her balance wasn't good. I mean, it seems like she should have had a walker. She had foot drop, no AFO. So I'm not understanding why a patient is able to dictate what they're supposed to have. You're the PT.
I felt that in the empowerment of the patients, it was in her best interest to support her and encourage her on her goal and her mission. And this was a woman who was also functioning at home independently alone and was not always using an assistive device at home. And so in that regard, knowing that the patient probably wouldn't use that device at home, I felt that it was better for me to empower her to do what she was going to do at home so that she could transfer home safely.
I understand your reasoning, but the fact of the matter still remains that it increases her ability to fall.
You are correct.
Tracy, if I could ask a couple of questions sort of along those lines. So I was looking at your initial evaluation, and your patient had manual muscle test scores in the threes and a tug, timed up and go score of 18 seconds. What does an 18-second timed up and go score equate to you as far as fall risk?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah. It would put her at risk for a fall. That takes her a bit to walk 6 feet and come back. The second question then is, so knowing that you had that in the initial eval, and I've read your notes, and you continue to talk about that she's getting better and stronger, yet when you did the re-evaluation on the 20th, you didn't redo the tug, so we don't know if she made progress. I didn't see any tug score on the eval.
Oh,
did I miss
have it?
Yeah, I
do have it.
Thanks. And then I didn't see any updated goals or progress notes. Did I miss that also?
Yeah, there was.
Okay.
So the very subsequent visit from this incident was actually a reevaluation.
Is there a date?
9/20.
Yeah. Which she showed remarkable progress very functionally.
Great.
Which tells me that this incident, perhaps she had a bad day, perhaps, I don't know. But the very subsequent visit, she showed remarkable progress.
Okay, thank you.
From the first session.
Okay. Well, never mind.
So why didn't you repeat the tug?
Right.
I did.
She said that
so
she
what
did.
Was it?
So the tug on the reval was 16 seconds.
So she went from 18 to 16.
Yes.
That's remarkable?
Well, that was not the most remarkable.
No. Do you know what the minimum clinical significant difference is?
The tug was not one of the remarkable ones. There was other tests that were significantly improved.
What were they?
When she first came in, she could not even go up a step with her left leg. And during the reevaluation, she did it 11 times with contact guard assist. I tested how well she just tapped her toes up on a box, just alternating. to test her balance and her ability to be on one leg. And the first day, she was able to do 23 in 30 seconds with moderate assist. And on the reval, she did 25 with min assist. And then just stepping over a hurdle, we just had her step up and over a hurdle, both anteriorly and laterally. And on the initial eval, anteriorly, she was able to do 8. And on the reval, she was able to do 14 of those. Again, with just contact guard assist. And then laterally, she did 10 on the right, 13 on the left, or sorry, 10 on the right, 13 on the right on the reval. And then for the left leg on the initial, it was 7 on the left, and she progressed to 14 on the left. So to me, that shows she was starting to be very functional, being on one leg with those activities.
But it still looks like your functional tests, not just step up and static, but the tug and the sit to stand 30 seconds really didn't reflect a whole lot of change. So you went from 18 seconds to 16 seconds and 8 reps to 10 reps
right.
in a month.
Right.
So functional balance and functionally looking at her fall risk. I don't think it reflects a tremendous amount of progress. Does that make sense?
Do you know what the predictive ability of those tests you did for fall risk?
No.
I'm not familiar with it, so I'm just wondering if you had any studies that...
No.
Okay. She came in with, if I'm mistaken, she came in with a complaint of loss of balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... why didn't you do more balance tests? Is it, I mean, if for nothing, no other reason, just to set a baseline.
Right.
So what was your rationale?
I in retrospect, yes, I probably should have done a Berg or a Tenetti's. I think I did just alternative balance tests. Mostly because of the fact that she was living independently, so I knew this was a woman that was functioning relatively high level, the fact that she was doing everything independently. In retrospect, yes, I should have done a more formal balance test.
With a complaint of loss of balance, then there's, in my mind, I'm going, she probably has fallen at home. Do you know if she has or did?
She had never tripped on anything. Only just the buckling.
Okay. So there was a history of knee buckling.
Yes, a few.
Okay. So I'd like to direct the attention to the board on data service 816-18 under onset. It states that the patient reports having several falls both at home and in the public. That is documented on that date of service.
Thank you.
So what is the best predictor of a future fall? It's a past fall.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So knowing that she had a history of falls, why didn't you dig deeper into how bad it was?
And again, in retrospect, I should have. I don't.
Was it time constraints?
It was probably
time. Busier with other patients? Was it?
I don't know.
Okay. You said that the patient didn't have any complaints of feeling dizzy or lightheaded, so that's why you didn't do blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do blood pressure on her on the initial evaluation?
No.
Okay. I'm assuming that you've been to a physician, nurse practitioner, and they've taken your blood pressure when you first get there. Have you ever gone in and told them that you felt dizzy or lightheaded and that's why they took the blood pressure? No. Why did they take the blood pressure?
Honestly, I think in the setting that I am in, being an outpatient orthopedic of primarily very healthy individuals, it was not a standard thing. that I would do.
So was that company policy not to do that?
No.
That's.
It's just, it's a noisy clinic, and taking blood pressure was very challenging.
Okay. So do you think it would have been wise to take the blood pressure since they came to physical therapy and you're going to do exercise?
Yes.
I mean, you ought to know about their blood pressure before you have them exercise.
Yes.
Who greeted the patient first? Was it you or Miss Veronica?
On that day?
Mm-hmm.
I believe Veronica.
So did Veronica come to you and say, this patient feels a little shaky, et cetera, so you could assess whether she was appropriate for assistive personnel to treat?
I don't remember.
Wasn't there documentation put in about her stating that she felt shaky? Veronica should have gone to you, and that should have been documented.
I believe I put in the note that she felt shaky.
It's not up to her to feel like. It's up to you.
Right.
You have to assess
right.
or evaluate the patient to make sure that they're appropriate to go on, even for assistive personnel to treat. That's your position as a PT.
Any other questions?
Did the patient have any cognitive issues?
No.
Okay, thank you.
We're pretty close to being done with the questions the board has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to make you or your attorney like to make a closing statement?
Do you want to say?
Right. Okay. I'll make just a short statement. Ms. Hill has expressed today that she acknowledges that some of the documentation in hindsight, that she would have done it differently. She's acknowledged today that that there's certain mistakes that she's made, so she doesn't come today fighting you. But at the same time, we would ask that this board would recognize that this is not an instance where, as it may have first appeared, where a patient fell or was completely unattended. That's not what happened in this. And as far as her abilities and her documentation, and even some of the inconsistencies between the interviews and even the record, we just remind the board that, as you're well aware, you see a lot of patients, and that there was an incident report drafted at that time because it wasn't a fall. And so by the time the incident report's drafted months later, interviews are months later, this wasn't something that was on their mind, and we believe that it's due to that period of time. It's not any intentional misrepresentations. Again, she acknowledges in hindsight she would have done certain things differently, and we would ask that this board would consider that.
Okay. All right. So this concludes the interview portion of the hearing. The board will now deliberate the case in public session. You should not interrupt these deliberations, and the board members should not interrupt the deliberations to ask further questions. Okay. So first thing, any discussion, or do I have a motion for findings of fact?
Well, I appreciate you being here, you know, being here and sharing your perspective of it and how things went for this patient. I would, do I make a motion for finding a fact?
You can, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or we can just have discussions.
Yeah. So. You know, I think that it's unfortunate, but it's clear that there was some substandard care for this particular patient in making assumptions as opposed to using the standardized tests that she had used to actually drive her clinical decisions as far as assistive devices and independence in the clinic and things like that.
It strikes me as I can't think of a better term. It's sloppy physical therapy. This is not best. This is not an example of best practice
or minimal practice.
And to rely on the fact that she lives at home, and that means that she's safe. That's a huge assumption. To say that I work in an area that where most people are healthy, so I don't need to check people
that
obviously are not the norm of the population. I think that is extremely disappointing. So
I would make a motion that. That for the findings of fact that Ms. Hill did engage in the performance of substandard care.
That would be a conclusion of law. So findings of fact are the actual things that were done that you believe mm-hmm. violated the law.
And you can do that by almost like reference to the investigative report.
Okay.
You want to take some
out. How about you take care of it?
So the motion is to accept as findings of fact the investigative report.
Second. So just to clarify, that is everything included under number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the informal hearing brief?
Correct.
Okay.
With no removals or modifications?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't hear any.
So findings are fact are those found in the informal hearing brief, number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, and number 5.
Thank you.
Okay.
Discussion.
All right, yeah. We're in discussion for this motion.
Are you ready for the question? So the motion before you is findings of fact on complaint 1840, Tracy Hill. The findings of fact include all items under number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the informal hearing brief. Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
The findings of fact are adopted.
Now we move on to conclusions of law.
Okay.
If you want.
Get back to it. All right, so then, correct me if I am not correct doing this, but in the conclusions of law, we find, do we make a motion for ARS 32-2044-4?
Is there a second?
Second.
The motion before you is to adopt conclusions of law 32-2044-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. Discussion? Are you ready for the question? Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes. You're now to your order.
All right. So...